Mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Taylor Quimby, in for Virginia Prescott. If you listen to NHPR on the weekends, you've likely heard this voice reporting New Hampshire's weather in meticulous detail.
As the low exits, a ridge of high pressure will build down from the north, allowing for fair skies to linger overnight into Sunday.
Unlike most forecasters, though, meteorologist Ryan Knapp isn't standing in front of a green screen or talking into a microphone from our comfy studio in Concord. He's actually reporting directly from one of the most hostile environments in the country, the top of Mount Washington. Ryan Knapp is also the unlikely guest today for our series Good Gig. And Ryan, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you for having me.
So you are the night meteorologist at the Mount Washington Observatory. So can you just describe your surroundings right now? What does it look like?
Right now we're in the fog. Visibility is kind of limited to 1/16th of a mile, which is actually improved from this morning when it was only down to 50 feet. We have light snow falling, and the winds actually have diminished to about 15 miles per hour. So the snow is actually falling vertically, which is kind of rare up here.
You're safely inside, we should clarify.
Yeah, at the moment, I'm safely inside in a little tiny recording room, so nothing outside right now.
And is that where you usually do most of your work? I mean, what's the observatory look like for folks who have never made the trek either by car or by foot to the peak?
The observatory is a two-level structure. The top level is a weather observatory office. It has most of our instrumentation, a little tiny recording room, and then a conference room for when we get together on Wednesdays. Then downstairs, we have our living quarters, which have bunk rooms that are similar to what you would see in like a college dorm experience. We then have a kitchen, dining area, and then a living room where we can get together and watch movies or play board games or anything like that. So it's a real cozy, small structure. Then above us, we have a weather tower where we have most of our instrumentation that is measuring the winds and temperature and pressure and so on.
Now, Mount Washington, it's 6,200?
Yep, 6,288 feet.
Okay. And I mean, we all know it's branded as home of the world's worst weather. Is it really that bad? I mean, I know that I've seen some pretty wild pictures, but on an average day, what are you dealing with?
On an average day up here, especially in the winter months, which we actually count from October to May, every other day we see a hurricane force wind. So that means winds in excess of 73 miles per hour.
Wow.
Then one out of every 4 days, we usually see gusts over 100 miles per hour. So wind alone is one factor. But then when you factor in temperatures that we see up here, it can be very cold. We get blowing snow. We get falling snow. Visibility, like I said, this morning was really severely limited. And if you get all those factors coming together, it can be a really hostile and a very dangerous environment if you don't know what you're doing or if you don't look at a forecast ahead of time.
So a lot of folks in New Hampshire have probably driven up to the peak of Mount Washington via the auto road. It's a really beautiful road. I definitely recommend it if you've never been. What's that like in the wintertime? You said October through, I forget when, that's considered winter at Mount Washington. So how do you get up to the top?
During the early part of the season and towards the end of the season, we take a truck or van with chains 4x4 up the road. But as conditions get deeper and deeper, usually by the end of November, we start taking what's called a snowcat or a snow tractor. What you would typically see those at is a ski resort, except for ours has a modified back end, which has a small cabin on it. So it allows us to ride up in the back of the snow tractor. So huge tracks, the thing takes up pretty much the entire road and just kind of makes its way up the summit. There are days, though, when it has to plow through snow that's several feet deep. In one section of the road, it gets to about 10 feet deep in the middle of winter. So a lot of work to get up here sometimes.
How long does it take?
On a good day, which would be very clear and not a lot of blade work, it would take about an hour 15 to get up here. On a really bad day, I've seen it take upwards of 6 hours just one direction up.
Wow.
So it just varies depending on how the conditions are on the road.
And that's an 8 mile trip, 6 hours.
Yep, the top speed is about 8 miles per hour. So it's not a very fast moving tractor, but if you start getting visibility limited, it goes even slower.
So people are probably asking themselves now, like, why we're having you on for our series Good Gig, which is supposed to be about people with great, unusual jobs. What makes your job so fantastic, given that you are at the mercy of the weather?
It has its good days and it has its bad days. And what's great is in meteorology, The spectrum goes from, you know, the stereotypical TV meteorologist, and then you have National Weather Service on the other end of the spectrum, and then there's kind of everything in between. What's great about this job is it kind of allows me to do a wide spectrum of things in meteorology. So you have the forecasting aspect that then, you know, I get to go outside and actually feel the weather that I'm forecasting for. So when I'm saying a 100-mile-per-hour gust, I'm going out and actually feeling what those feel like. And, you know, we get visibility where we have sunsets that are 130-mile visibility with colorful skies. And then other days you have blowing snow and everything else up here. So no 2 days are exactly alike. It's just a very unique environment and a lot of fun to see all the various weather elements that you learn in textbooks actually coming to life up here.
And how long have you been there?
I've been here since December of 2005, so I think 9 years now.
And have, in that time, I mean, I'm imagining you've seen some really amazing, some amazing phenomenon. The Aurora Borealis, you know, stars that I can't even imagine seeing from where I live in Concord. Is that sort of thing a daily occurrence?
It's not too daily. We're in the fog up here about 60% of the year, so it can be very rare just to see a starry sky at night. The Aurora Borealis is even more rare. I think in the amount of time that I've been here, I've only seen it about a dozen times. So it's not a very common occurrence, but when it does occur, it's definitely very unique and nothing I've ever seen prior to working at this location.
I'm speaking with Ryan Knapp. He's night meteorologist at the Mount Washington Observatory, and you've probably heard him here on the weekends at New Hampshire Public Radio. He's our guest today for our series, Good Gig. Tell me a little bit about your daily routine. I know if you're the night meteorologist, I'm guessing that means you work through the night. Is it like third shift?
Actually, we have two shifts. So we work 5:30 to 5:30. So my shift starts at 5:30 p.m. and ends at 5:30 a.m. I have a little bit of overlap when I first wake up with the day observers. I usually get up around 2, 3 in the afternoon, and then we work together and kind of get an idea of what was going on during the day versus the night. And then everybody kind of kicks off to bed about 10 o'clock, and then I'm on my own from 10 o'clock until they wake up at around 5. If the weather is severe, though, we will usually wake somebody up or have somebody up with me just to be in the building waiting for me to get back in to be safe and sound rather than wondering where I am at 6 a.m. in the morning.
To get back in, so you actually go outside every night for your shift?
Yeah, once an hour we go outside to take our weather readings and measurements. So we're out there physically in it, taking temperature readings, de-icing the instrumentation, because no matter what any product says, we have yet to find a product that will remain completely ice-free. So we still have to go out and de-ice, and then we have to collect a precipitation can, which is in the middle of the summit. So we're physically going out there at least once an hour, if not more, to make sure all the instrumentation is working and also getting our readings. So we're physically out there throughout the day and the night.
Now, what's that? I mean, you said every 4 days you're hitting 100-mile-an-hour gusts. What is that like when you are outside on a weekly basis in, you know, a hurricane-force wind?
I could say that you get used to it, but you never really get used to it. And even days where we see the 100-mile-per-hour gusts, no 2 days are exactly alike with those either. A lot of people that come up here actually don't know what winds feel like at that speed. In the summertime, we have tourists that come up here via the auto road or the cog or hiking or whatever. And while we're outside taking our observations, we'll overhear them saying, oh, man, it's got to be blowing at least 30 up here. And you go back in and it's only blowing about 10 miles per hour. And it's just because people aren't used to feeling those kind of winds on them that they don't really know how to calibrate themselves to what the actual speed is up here.
And Ryan, I'm wondering, what is the living situation like? You mentioned that there's bunks, there's a kitchen, there's a pantry. You're working 12-hour shifts, and I'm guessing that you are often stuck in the mountain. You probably can't get down, especially during the winter times when the road is just too hairy.
Yep. So on any given week, we're up here from Wednesday to Wednesday. So we stay 8 days on up here, living, working, and et cetera. And then we get 6 days off in the valley. However, if the wind is bad or the temperatures or whatever conditions force us to stay up here, we can stay one or two extra days. It just depends on what's going on. While we're up here, though, we have three observers that are typically on our shift. And then we have one intern and then one or two volunteers that are up here for the week. So we have kind of a mountain family, as we call it up here. So we get together and have dinner and play board games and kind of have a communal effort at the end of the day. So you don't really get that cabin fever that everybody assumes that you have up here, because you definitely have an out to talk to other people. And the people that we work with up here are just really great people, and kind of we screen really well before we work with them to make sure we get personalities that we know we can get along with.
I think that makes a lot of sense, given the conditions. Oh, yeah. So that makes me wonder, this is probably not the type of job that everybody would love. I mean, there's a lot of folks who like the comfort of a warm home and like to be able to drive to the store and do those sorts of things. So who do you think this job is perfect for, and who is it absolutely the worst for?
Definitely the worst for people, like you were saying, that enjoy those creature comforts or having a normal schedule. It's definitely tough on people that have families going, because you're basically missing out on your kids growing up every other week. So a lot of us are single. However, we have had, you know, people that have had kids in the past, but you typically have to have a mindset of kind of being slightly crazy, I guess, you know, to put your body in that kind of extreme weather every other week. But at the same time, a sense of adventure, a longing for fun, and just wanting to experience, you know, the physical aspect of weather and not just looking at pretty pictures on a screen.
Well, Ryan Knapp, you're a brave man. Thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Thank you for having me.
Ryan Knapp is night meteorologist at the Mount Washington Observatory. You can see some beautiful pictures from the peak. And, of course, you can hear his voice on many weekends here on New Hampshire Public Radio giving the forecast. And you can check out all that at wordofmouthradio.org. If you think you have an unusually great gig or you know somebody who does, we want to hear about it. So shoot us an email at wordofmouth@nhpr.org and put good gig in the subject line. And the cold winds continue to blow on Word of Mouth. Up next, a look into China's push to build a frozen food infrastructure and what that means for global climate change. First, a quick break. Chilly.